In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we are in the midst of one of the 12 great feasts of our church, the entrance of the Mother of God into the temple, this feast that we began to celebrate on November 21st. It's a feast that finds itself liturgically in the year during the Advent fast, this period of preparation for the celebration of Christmas, the Nativity of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ according to the flesh. And we might think it's somewhat strange that during this Advent period, this period of preparation for a feast day, we have a feast, that we have a time to celebrate in this time of preparation. You know, one of the things that we often criticize the world for in relation to the celebration of Christmas is that there is no preparation anymore, that there is no fast, that there is no looking forward to the feast, that people pre-celebrate. All the Christmas parties happen before the 25th. Once the 25th comes, you have the final wrapping up of the celebration. 26th, all the trees are out on the curb. The lights are down. Everything is over. Actually, that's the time when the celebration really begins, on the 25th. We have 12 days of Christmas that begin on the 25th, not on the 13th. But this time of preparation is very important for us as Orthodox Christians. And we value Advent and we treasure it. And we keep it. But the church asks us to keep it, remembering that while we fast, we also should be feasting. While the body fasts, the soul feasts. Right? It's a kind of a reorientation of what we're all about, from earth to heaven, from what is seen to what is unseen. And as we go about this Advent fast, as we're entering into this Nativity fast, the church gives us immediately a feast within the first week, this entrance of the Mother of God into the temple. We'll say a few things about this feast that we celebrate. First, we'll review the historical aspect to the feast. See in the icon that the Mother of God is presented as a young child into the temple. She's received there by the priest Zacharias. And there she dwells until the age of marriage in those days, which is the age of puberty. And at that point, she leaves the temple, and that's kind of the conclusion of this time period for the feast. So it's the time from when she's a young girl, actually 3 years of age, until she gets to about 13. And we celebrate this time period. What happens in this time period? What's this all about? We know that the Mother of God is brought to the temple because her parents, Saints Joachim and Anna, had made a promise, a solemn vow to God. They were elderly and they were barren. They had no children. And they asked God for a child. They prayed to him with tears and with fasting. And God answered their prayer. Even though they were an elderly couple, and you know, Anna was probably in her 60s, she was able, by God's grace, and in a natural manner, to be united with her husband and to give birth to a child. This had happened previously in the Old Testament. We know of Abraham and Sarah and others. That this was a gift of God, a gift of a child. And they vowed and they promised that having received this gift, they would give it back. They would offer this child back to God. And it so happened at the age of 2, Joachim said to Anna, "Let's bring her to the temple and fulfill that promise that we've made." And yet, Anna said, "Well, let's wait maybe 1 year. Let's wait maybe 1 year so that she won't turn back from the temple and seek her parents. That she'll also come to know us a little bit. And then at 3, we'll bring her." So they did at the age of 3. Now, since Joachim and Anna, as we know, had a home in Nazareth and also a home in Jerusalem, they had two homes. And they lived at the time of the Nativity of the Mother of God in Jerusalem. And there they brought her to the temple. And as you can see in the icon, there were young girls who proceeded in procession before the Mother of God. That St. Joachim and Anna went about this in a smart manner. They enrolled some other young girls to kind of accompany her so she wouldn't be afraid. And she comes to the steps of the temple, and there are 15 steps. And she ascends these steps, running ahead of the procession, and is received there by the elder Zacharias. And there she spends the next decade of her life, next 10 years or so. And what does she do there? This is going to be one of the topics for today's sermon. Because what she does is she prepares herself. We spoke about Advent as a season of preparation, a time of preparation for the coming of Christ, the birth of Christ. That's what she did. She prepared herself to become the birth giver of God. That's what Theotokos means, the birth giver of God. And she prepared herself for this special calling, this special role. How did she do that? We'll talk about five things that she did. And these are five things that each of us can do, not to become the birth giver of God, that's a one-time thing, but to be people who receive God into our lives in a greater way. People who celebrate Christmas in a greater way. First thing is obvious, she prayed. That's what's done at the temple, right? The Lord says that my Father's house is not a place of business, it's not a place of merchandise, it's a place of prayer. She went to the temple and she prayed there. At the services that were scheduled, they had a cycle of services like we do in the Orthodox Church. They had a cycle of services. And in between those services, she prayed in her heart and in her mind, that she turned her whole being towards God in prayer. She also fasted. We know in the Old Testament they fasted on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and in other seasons she fasted. She prepared herself with abstinence, that she abstained from certain types of food. And she, in fasting, deprived the body so that she could receive greater gifts of the soul, gifts of grace. Eventually she's called full of grace. So prayer and fasting, two things that we're doing, right, in the Advent fast. The other is almsgiving, that she applied herself to the charitable ministries that were active in the temple, that people who were homeless, people who were without clothing, without food, that they came to the temple and they received charity, and the Mother of God served the people there. And we apply ourselves to almsgiving during the Nativity fast. It's one of the things that we try to do. In saving money on food, we give a little money to the poor, to those who don't have food. So prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Two more things. Study. She studied. She listened to the Word of God. The historical books were read. The law was read. The prophets were read. And she loved to listen to the Word of God, to study His Word, to understand what His message was of salvation for the world, and also that message of salvation for her, what her role was to be. One of the things that she loved to listen to were the prophets. Those people who spoke about the coming of the Messiah, the Chosen One, who would be the deliverer of His people. She loved to listen to the writings of the prophets. So prayer, fasting, almsgiving, study. And finally, work. Finally, work. It was the custom for all of the young virgins at that time to work from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. They worked hard. They worked very hard. Sometimes we think just because someone's praying and fasting and they're giving alms and they're studying, they're living this spiritual life, that they don't have to work. Well, she had to work because work is so instrumental to us in our own development. We have to be industrious people. We have to be people who apply ourselves to work, right? To have calloused hands. And what was her job? She sewed and she knitted, that she prepared garments for those people who were poor. Also says in the tradition of the church that she was among five of the virgins who were selected to knit and to sew a new curtain for the temple, that curtain that would protect the Holy of Holies. She was chosen to dedicate herself to that sewing. So these five things are there for us in the example of the Mother of God and there for us to follow in our own lives during this Advent season. We'll say one thing now about Saints Joachim and Anna. And this will be our final point for the sermon. Saints Joachim and Anna were people who were righteous. They were people who approached God in prayer and fasting. They're people who served Him throughout their whole lives. You know, one of the things that they had, and we spoke about this a little bit last Sunday, is they had not only divine inspiration, but they had human follow-up. They had fulfillment. You know, Saints Joachim and Anna, they were granted this wonderful gift by God, this gift of a child, and they were elderly. And it would have been very easy for them to say, thank you, Lord, and to say, let's offer our thanks in some other way, though, and let's keep this child for ourselves, that we're elderly, we're old, we have no children. Let this be a gift of consolation to us. And yet, no, they knew that they had vowed to God. They had pledged their child to him, and they gave that child. They fulfilled their vow. They honored their pledge. And this is something that is important for us to remember, that we need follow through. We need follow through in all things. I want to share with you, as we are in this Advent fast and we're preparing for Christmas, I want to give you an update on our own pledges. You know, we've been pledging as a community to pay back our $30,000 loan. And I want to share with you that we are almost there, that people, you all, are fulfilling your pledges, that you're honoring your vows, that you're giving to God even though it's easier to keep for ourselves. This is an inspiring thing. The Lord, you know, he spoke many parables. One parable he gives about a man who has two sons, and he says to one son, go and work in the field. And he says to the other son, you go and work too. And the one son says, I'll go, father. And he ends up not going. And then the other son said initially, oh, I'm not going to go. But then later he changes his mind and he goes. And he goes. And it's an example for us of follow through, of being people who hear what's asked of us and then respond to that. Not just in word, but in deed. You know, it's a wonderful thing to see so many people who, unlike that first son, they did respond and say, I'll go. And you know what? They went. It's a wonderful thing to see that fulfillment. And then also to see those people who maybe didn't initially say, I'll go, I'll pledge. But they did anyway. You know, I have to update you not just on the financial situation, but I have to update you on the spiritual situation. That there are so many of you who have pledged and followed up. And there are so many of you who didn't initially pledge, but then changed your mind and did make an offering. You know, it's a wonderful thing to see this in a community. People who follow through. People who fulfill their vows. You know, this is a time for us of preparation. It's a time for us to look ahead to Christmas. It's also a time for us to fulfill that which we're asked to do, to be people of prayer, to be people who fast, to be people who give alms, to be people who study, people who work, people who fulfill our vows, people who do everything that we can. And what will happen? God will double our blessings. Look at Saints Joachim and Anna. They received a wonderful gift of God, and they gave it back to him. And what happened? St. Nikolai Vilimirovich says they had a wonderful child who became the mother of God. What a gift. And it happened because they were willing to fulfill their pledge in offering her to the temple. And what did the mother of God do? She fulfilled her own pledge, that she offered her whole self to God. And she became this instrument, this vehicle for the incarnation, for that Savior whom she sought to actually come and come to earth. And of course, this was a double blessing for Saints Joachim and Anna, because they not only became the parents of the Mother of God, but they became the grandparents. Think about this, the grandparents of God. Grandparents of God. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what God has in store for each and every one of us, particularly what those gifts will be. I can tell you, I know that they won't be that we'll give birth to the Mother of God, or our grandchild won't be the Son of God in the flesh. But I can tell you that there will be gifts that will be given to us. There will be wonderful things that will happen to us. And the greatest of those gifts is our very salvation. Brothers and sisters, let us be people who prepare, people who look forward to that fulfillment, people who follow through. And if we do, we'll be people who are assured of God's blessings and his salvation. Glory to Jesus Christ.